Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Metanoia Madness. I'm your host, Nicholas, music creator, entrepreneur turned podcaster, lover of all things spiritual, mystical, and unknown. This is episode 87, The Energy Drain of Comparison, why their timeline isn't yours. Welcome back to Metanoia Madness, the podcast where we don't just grow. We unravel the stories that keep us stuck and remember the truth of who we are becoming. I'm Nicholas, and today we're diving into one of the quietest, most exhausting ways we abandon ourselves, comparison. Comparison isn't always loud. It doesn't always shout in your face. Most of the time it whispers. It shows up when you're scrolling on your phone and suddenly you start questioning your own timeline. It creeps in when you hear about someone else's success and immediately measure it against what you haven't done yet. And sometimes, it shows up in the hardest way. When you're standing in a room full of people who already reflect the success, abundance, or freedom you've been dreaming of, and you can feel the distance between who you are right now and who you know you're becoming. That might be the hardest part about comparison. Not just the abstract idea of watching someone else live a life you want, but the lived reality of being around it, breathing the same air, and feeling the gap between your vision and your current reality. That's why this conversation matters. Because comparison isn't just a mental habit, it's an energetic leak. Every time you measure your worth against someone else's timeline, you scatter pieces of yourself into places that were never meant to hold your energy. It's like standing in your own garden, but spending all your time watering someone else's plants while your own flowers wilt behind you. Spiritually, comparison is an illusion. It's Maya, the fog that convinces you that someone else's path is the standard you're supposed to measure up to. But their path isn't yours. And yours is encoded with its own rhythm, its own timing, its own sacred unfolding. The danger is that comparison pulls you out of presence. It makes you obsess over a past that you can't rewrite, or a future you haven't yet arrived at. And presence is the only place where alignment exists. It's the only place Source, God, the universe, whatever you call it, speaks. And when you're wrapped up in comparison, you can't hear that voice clearly. But here's the paradox that I've had to learn for myself. Sometimes the very environments that trigger your comparison are the same ones that hold the key to your expansion. Being around success, abundance, wholeness, even when you don't have it yet, can feel uncomfortable. It can make you shrink or question or want to leave the room. But what if those rooms aren't there to shame you? What if they're your invitation? Because standing in those spaces and choosing not to collapse is a skill, a spiritual practice, a declaration to yourself and to the universe that you're willing to match the frequency of the life you desire. And that's where the shift happens. Comparison keeps you feeling like an outsider, but alignment lets you belong before reality catches up. When you learn to hold your ground in those rooms, when you learn to say, "This is where I'm meant to be," even if it hasn't fully manifested yet, you stop leaking energy through comparison and start attracting the very things you've been dreaming of. That's what we're diving into today. Why comparison is so draining and why their timeline isn't yours. And how to redirect your energy from envy to clarity, from scarcity to creation. If you're listening to this right now and thinking, yes, I've been questioning if I'm behind, if I'm doing enough, if I've missed my chance, I created something to help you get anchored again. It's my free Start With Why Clarity Guide, a tool to help you strip away the noise and reconnect with your own vision so you can stop measuring your life by someone else's timeline and start living aligned with your own. You can grab it at metanoiamadness.com. But for now, take a breath with me. Exhale the weight of all the timelines you've been trying to keep up with. Inhale the reminder that your path is sacred, your timing is divine, and your energy belongs to you. So if you're ready, let's talk about it. Comparison is sneaky. It rarely barges in with a loud announcement. It slips in quietly, like background noise you don't notice until it's been running for hours. You're scrolling and suddenly you feel a pain in your chest. You're sitting at dinner and you hear someone casually talking about the promotion they just got. You bump into an old friend who seems like they've got their entire life neatly mapped out. And before you even realize it, you're not present anymore. You've left your own body and stepped into a role of the critic, measuring your worth against someone else's highlight reel. That's the trap. Comparison convinces you that other people's progress is proof that you're behind. It tells you that because someone else has reached a milestone, you're failing. It tricks you into thinking life is a linear race where you can fall behind or lose entirely. But it's not true. Their path is not yours. Their timing is not your timing. Their success is not proof of your inadequacy. Spiritually, this is where comparison becomes dangerous. Because every time you lock eyes on someone else's garden, you stop tending your own. You take energy that could be used to water your seeds, your ideas, your relationships, and you pour it into envy, shame, and what-ifs. It's like spilling life force energy into a field that will never feed you. And then you wonder why your own dreams aren't blooming. The trap of comparison is that it feels like information. It feels like truth. Look, they're further along. Look, they have what you want. Look, you're not there yet. But it's not truth. It's distortion. Because you never see the whole picture. You see the curated surface, not the late nights, the setbacks, the sacrifices. You see the fruit, not the roots. And yet your mind convinces you it's apples to apples, when really you're comparing your seedling to their harvest. And when you forget that, you start playing small. You stop taking risks because you don't want to fail harder. You settle for fine because at least it looks stable. You silence your desire because it hurts to want something you don't have yet. That's how comparison robs you. Not just of joy, but of momentum. It doesn't just make you feel bad. It slows your growth. It keeps you in cycles of scarcity because you're too busy trying to measure up to a story that was never meant to be yours. And here's the thing. Comparison thrives in environments where you're already questioning your worth. It feeds off the cracks in your self-trust. It whispers, see, you're not enough. And if you're not grounded, you'll believe it. That's why awareness is so important, because the trap only works if you don't see it happening. The moment you notice it, you have a choice. You can keep putting energy into someone else's timeline, or you can pull it back into your own. It doesn't mean you stop celebrating others. It doesn't mean you close your eyes to what's possible. But it does mean you stop using their path as a measuring stick for your own. Because your soul didn't come here to replicate. It came here to create. And every second you spend comparing is a second you're not creating. So the real trap of comparison isn't just the envy or the self-doubt. It's that it distracts you from the very thing you came here to do. Live the life only you can live. The thing about comparison is that on the surface, it seems harmless. It just feels like a thought, just a glance, just a feeling that passes when you notice where someone else is in life. But if you've lived with comparison long enough, you know it's not harmless. It's costly. It costs you presence. It costs you peace. It costs you the energy you could be using to actually build the life you're dreaming about. Because every time you measure yourself against someone else, you leave your own path. You step off your ground and wander into theirs, mentally rehearsing how you stack up, what you lack, what you should have done differently. And while your attention is over there, your own life is unattended. Your own seeds go unwatered. Your own blessings go unnoticed. That's the emotional cost. Comparison keeps you living in a state of quiet resentment. Resentment toward yourself for not being further along. And resentment towards others for having what you think you don't. And resentment, left unchecked, becomes a poison. It doesn't just eat away at your joy, it eats away at your ability to see clearly. But there's a deeper spiritual cause too. Comparison leaks your energy. It lowers your vibration, it pulls you out of presence. Out of the only place you actually have power. And scatters your attention across timelines that were never meant for you. It's like plugging your soul into 10 different outlets at once and then wondering why you're drained before you've even taken a step toward your own vision. And maybe the most dangerous cost is this. Comparison blinds you to your own blessings. It makes you look past the very things you once prayed for, because you're so busy measuring them against what someone else has. Think about how many times you've achieved something that once felt impossible and almost immediately minimized it because someone else had more or got there faster or made it look easier. That's how comparison dishonors gratitude. It convinces you that what you've built is insignificant when really it's sacred. It convinces you that progress isn't progress unless it looks like someone else's.
but gratitude and comparison can't coexist. One expands you and the other contracts you. One raises your frequency and the other drags you down. The more energy you waste on comparison, the less capacity you have for creation. You can't hold on to both. This is what makes comparison so draining. It's not just about jealousy or envy, it's about misalignment. It's about pouring your life force into the story that isn't yours, and then wondering why your own story feels so hollow. And here's what's wild. Most of us are doing this unconsciously. We're not choosing to give away our energy. We're just conditioned to believe it's normal to measure ourselves against everyone else. But normal isn't the same as natural. Your soul was never designed to compare. Your soul is designed to expand. And expansion doesn't happen when you're busy tracking someone else's pace. It happens when you return your energy to your own body, to your own breath, to your own alignment. So the hidden cost of comparison isn't just emotional exhaustion. It's the opportunity cost of what you could have been creating. The book you could have written, the business you could have started, the relationship you could have nurtured, the peace you could have built. And that's why this conversation matters. Because every time you catch yourself spiraling into comparison, you're not just losing time, you're losing presence, you're losing alignment, you're losing the chance to live the only life you were actually given, the one that belongs to you. And once you see it that way, you realize comparison isn't just a distraction, it's a thief. And the longer you let it run unchecked, the more it will rob you of the very life you're meant to live. One of the hardest truths to accept is that your life will never unfold on someone else's schedule. And yet, that's exactly what comparison keeps trying to trick you into believing. That there's a universal clock we're all supposed to keep pace with. But here's the reality. There is no single clock. There is no race. There is no finish line you're late to. Your soul didn't come here with the same blueprint as anyone else. It came here with its own lessons, its own timing, its own rhythm. Think about nature. A seed planted in spring doesn't curse itself for not blooming in the winter. A flower doesn't look at the tree beside it and say, "Why aren't my branches as tall as yours?" Each moves at its own pace, in alignment with the season it's in. But somewhere along the way, we lost trust in our own reasons. We convinced ourselves that if we're not married by 30, or making six figures by 35, or living in a house by 40, that we failed. We internalized cultural timelines that were never designed for the complexity of our individual journeys. And when life doesn't match those expectations, comparison swoops in and whispers, "See? You're behind." But behind what? Behind who? The only race is the one you've created in your own mind. And spiritually, that race is an illusion. Because the truth is, your timing is sacred. The obstacles, the delays, the detours, none of them are accidents. They're all part of the unfolding that's shaping you into someone capable of holding what you're asking for. Sometimes what feels like a setback is actually protection. Sometimes what feels like a delay is preparation. Sometimes what feels like failure is the very redirection that sets you up for alignment later on. But comparison doesn't let you see that. It blinds you to the deeper story being written in your own life. It tells you that because someone else has bloomed earlier, you'll never bloom at all. Yet when you zoom out, you see the truth. You were never supposed to bloom at the same time. Your soul is different, your roots are different, your path is different. And this is where the spiritual perspective becomes liberating. Because when you stop trying to keep up with someone else's clock, you create space to align with your own divine timing. You stop forcing, you stop rushing, you stop dishonoring the season you're actually in. This doesn't mean you stop desiring more. It doesn't mean you stop working toward what you want. It just means you stop letting someone else's pace define your worth. Because worth isn't measured in milestones. It's measured in alignment. And alignment can only happen when you're honest about the season you're in, not the one you think you should be in. I've had to learn this over and over in my own life. The times that I thought I was behind because the timeline I imagined didn't match reality. Relationships that didn't work out. A car that broke down when I needed stability. The podcast growing slower than I had hoped. Every one of those moments felt like failure at the time. But looking back, they were chapters of preparation. They were training me to detach from control, to release the pressure of cultural timelines, and trust that my journey was unfolding exactly the way I needed it to. And maybe that's the gift of comparison. It shows you where you've forgotten to trust your own path. It shows you where you've bought into the illusion that you're late, instead of realizing you're right on time for your own life. Because their timeline isn't yours. It never was. And the sooner you stop measuring yourself by it, the sooner you can return your energy back to the path that was always meant for you. Here's where comparison cuts the deepest. Not when you're alone scrolling. Not when you're imagining someone else's life from a distance. But when you're standing face to face with success. When you're in the room. When you're surrounded by people who already live the life you see yourself becoming. And you can feel the gap between their reality and your own. That's the moment comparison can choke you. Because suddenly, it's not abstract. It's embodied. You see it. You hear it. You feel it in the air. And deep down, you can't help but think, I don't belong here. And let's be honest. Sometimes that's true. Your external reality hasn't caught up yet. The money isn't in the bank account. The opportunities aren't pouring in. The recognition isn't there. You're standing in a space that feels like it reflects your future, not your present. And that's where many people shrink. They pull back, they retreat. The discomfort of holding that tension, the difference between who you are now and who you know you're becoming, feels unbearable. But what if that tension isn't punishment? What if it's initiation? Because standing in those rooms is a skill, a spiritual practice, a way of training your nervous system to hold more, to stretch your capacity for the life you say you want. It's not about faking it. It's not about pretending you're already there. It's about matching the frequency of the environment so that little by little it begins to feel natural. So that eventually you stop saying, I don't belong here. And you start saying, this is home. That shift is powerful because when you learn to regulate yourself in the presence of abundance, you stop leaking energy into comparison and start channeling it into alignment. Think about it like this. If you can't stand in the vibration of what you desire without collapsing, how will you hold it when it arrives? How will you sustain it when life places it in your hands? This is why being around success, even when it feels uncomfortable, is actually part of your evolution. Because it forces you to face the gap between your vision and your current reality. And instead of letting that gap shame you, you learn to let it shape you. This is alignment in action. You don't wait until you arrive to start carrying the energy of where you're headed. You embody it now. You let the room teach you. You let the vibration recalibrate you. And you take responsibility for matching that frequency, not by copying anyone else's path, but by grounding deeper into your own. And here's what happens when you do. The room stops feeling intimidating. It stops feeling like proof of what you don't have, and starts feeling like reflection, confirmation, evidence of what's possible. Because it's close now, it's here, you feel it, you see it. It's closer now than it's ever been. And in that moment, comparison dissolves. Because you're no longer looking around thinking, they have what I don't. You're looking around thinking, yeah, this is where I belong. And my life is catching up. I see it. That's alignment. That's expansion. That's how you collapse the gap between your vision and your reality. So yes, being in those rooms is hard. Yes, it stretches you. Yes, it confronts every part of you that still doubts, still fears, still questions. But it's also sacred. Because it's preparing you to not just want more, but to be able to hold more when it arrives. And maybe that's the real secret. The rooms you think you don't belong in yet are often the very ones preparing you for the life you've been asking for. If comparison is the habit that drains us, clarity is the practice that restores us. Because clarity is what happens when you return your energy to yourself. When you stop scattering it across other people's timelines and you bring it back into your own body, your own season, your own truth. But let's be real. This doesn't happen automatically. Breaking free from comparison requires intentional practice. It requires a conscious shift from their path back to my path. And one of the most powerful ways to do that is through detachment. Detachment doesn't mean apathy. It doesn't mean you stop caring about people or stop being inspired by them. It means you stop tying your worth to how you measure up against them. Detachment is the spiritual act of saying, I bless your journey, but it is not my own. I celebrate your abundance, but I refuse to make it proof of my lack. I release the story that says I'm behind, and I return to the timing that belongs to me. When you practice that kind of detachment, you free yourself from the illusion that you're in competition. Because truthfully, there is no competition. Your soul's path is uniquely encoded. No one else can live it. No one else can do it the way you're meant to, and comparison only distracts you from actually living it. This is where presence comes in. Comparison always pulls you into the past or the future. It makes you replay old regrets or panic about not arriving fast enough. But presence is the only place where clarity exists. It's the only place you can hear your intuition. It's the only place God, the universe, speaks. So when you catch yourself spiraling into comparison, come back to the present moment. Take a breath. Look at what's in front of you. Ask what's mine to carry right now. Not what are they doing. Not what should I have done by now. But what's alive for me in this moment? That question alone can shift everything. And here's the energetic piece. Envy vibrates low and contracts your energy. It tells the universe you're not ready, that you're living from scarcity. But creation vibrates high. It expands you. It tells the universe you're open and that you're ready to partner with possibility. So the shift isn't from comparison to indifference. It's from comparison to creation, from scarcity to gratitude, from lack to alignment. And the more you practice this, the more natural it becomes. At first, you'll catch yourself mid-scroll or mid-conversation, realizing you're leaking energy again. And you'll gently redirect. This isn't my garden to tend. My energy belongs here. Then, little by little, the reflex changes. Instead of collapsing into comparison, you begin to expand into clarity. Instead of asking, why not me? You begin to ask, what's mine to do? Instead of feeling like an outsider in rooms that stretch you, you begin to feel like a participant, someone who belongs. That's the alchemy. Comparison dissolves when clarity expands, and clarity expands when you choose to return, again and again, to your own path. Because at the end of the day, this is the truth. You don't need to keep pace with anyone else's timeline. You don't need to measure your worth by anyone else's milestones. You don't need to waste your energy proving or performing. You need to live. To breathe, to plant, to water, to bloom, on your own schedule, in your own way. And the more you do, the less room comparison has to survive, because your energy is no longer scattered outward, it's rooted inward. And from that place, you can create a life that doesn't just look good on the outside, but feels aligned, peaceful, and alive on the inside. Comparison is one of the subtlest thieves of our time and energy. It doesn't come crashing in with chaos, it slips in quietly, convincing us that someone else's story has the right to define our own. But here's the truth. We've come back again and again and again today. Your path is yours alone. Your timing is sacred. Your energy belongs to you. And every time you scatter that energy into someone else's timeline, you step out of alignment with the life that's meant for you. You stop tending your own garden. You silence your own voice. You abandon the very soil where your roots are trying to grow. So the work is not about silencing desire. It's not about pretending you don't want what you want. It's about reclaiming the energy you've been wasting on comparison and bringing it back home, into clarity, into creation, into presence. Because the truth is, you will find yourself in rooms that stretch you, rooms where abundance is flowing, where success is on display, where other people's breakthroughs are undeniable. And in those moments, you'll have a choice. You can collapse into comparison, convincing yourself you don't belong. Or you can breathe, stand a little taller, and decide that being in that space is your initiation. Your reminder that what you see outside of you is already alive inside of you, waiting for the right timing to bloom. That's the work, not shrinking, not apologizing, not letting envy siphon off your life force, but expanding into the truth. If it's in the room with you, it's on its way to you. And your responsibility is to match the frequency, to train your nervous system to hold it, to let yourself belong before reality catches up. Before we close, I want to leave you with something to sit with. Where in my life have I been leaking energy into comparison? And what would it look like to return that energy to my own path? And when I imagine myself standing in a room that reflects the life I desire, how can I begin embodying that frequency now, even before the external proof arrives? Let those questions be more than ink on a page. Let them pull you into honesty. Let them show you the places where you've been watering someone else's garden instead of your own. And when the old stories rise up, the ones that tell you you're behind, you're not enough, you don't belong, I want you to have these words to return to. Not as cliches, but as anchors. I release the illusion of being behind. I honor the season I'm in, and I trust the timing of my path. I celebrate others without abandoning myself. What is for me will not miss me. If it's in the room with me, it's already on its way to me. Breathe those in. Let them settle in your body. And remember, you don't need to measure your life by anyone else's clock. You don't need to water every garden but your own. You don't need to waste energy proving or performing. Your work is to stay aligned, to stay present, to stay rooted in the truth of your own becoming. And if this episode stirred something in you, if you're ready to stop measuring yourself by comparison and start moving with clarity, I created a resource to help. So don't forget to download your free Start With Why Clarity Guide. It's designed to bring you back to your own foundation so you can stop scattering your energy outward and start living from the inside out. You can download that right now on the website. Until next week, I'm Nicholas and this is Metanoia Madness, signing off.